Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Cosmic Contact Show, coming to you from the RBRO Network. We're glad you're joining us this evening for this cosmic journey. I'm having some technical problems here. Annie, can you hear me?
I can hear you. You sound fine on my end.
Well, I'm calling on your line. I was not able to reach Drew, who we're interviewing tonight, so it kind of threw me out. I came back in, and I tried to use my line, and I couldn't get.
Oh, it looks like he just called back in.
He
did.
Hold
on and let me see if this is him.
Okay.
Drew?
There we go. I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here. All right.
Hey, yay, you made it.
Pam's going to do the announcements, and then we're on.
Okay.
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 Hold on a second, and I'm going to go up to my line, Annie, and you tell me if you hear what I'm saying. Okay, hello, can you hear me?
Uh-huh, I can hear you. I can hear you both
well,
ways.
For some reason, it wasn't working before. Okay, everybody, we're on. This is exciting. Of course,
Happy New Year.
Retrograde. Yay! We know that when Mercury does retrograde, things just don't quite work out the way we'd like for them to. But we have the most wonderful guest on our show tonight. His name is Drew Nicholson, and he's a relationship coach. But before I talk about Drew, I want to tell you a little bit about the network. That's part of you all knowing what we're up here out here doing. Anyone can access the show by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Winford Live or by going to the archives, which are available shortly after the show finishes. Now, if you're not online, you have someone who wants to hear the show, you can call in to 347-838-9142. And if you've got a question, use the same number, 347-838-9142. And Annie, the moderator, will get you in. We have a show every day of the week that's on the network. My show is on Mondays at 6:30 Central Standard Time. These are all Central Standard Time. I Am Well show is at 8 p.m. on Tuesday. The Night Search show is at 9:30 p.m. on Tuesday. Wednesday is the No Show. That's at 7 p.m. The Laws of Material Wealth and Personal Development show is live at 8:30. These are all live shows. Thursday is the Progressive News Weekly. That's at 5:30 p.m. And Friday is the Searchers Roadmap Show is at 1 p.m. The Dream Vision 7 Show is at 3 p.m. on Friday. Saturday is Soul Town, The Sound of Music, which is broadcast at 3. So be sure and check that out. There's some good soul music. And Sunday is the Dream Vision 7 Show again, and that's at 3 p.m., and that's from Boston. So we're all over the place, and we are in quite a few countries now, so a lot of people are calling in and from everywhere, and it's exciting, and we're glad to be here that we can offer a service to many people who need answers, and that's what I feel like our show is about, is that we find great people that can answer your questions about life and about everything. We just have the best time. We're a very metaphysical show, so know that is pretty much where we come from all the time. I want to tell you about our guest this evening. Drew Nicholson. Again, I said he is a relationship coach. And Drew is going to talk tonight about are lonely and they want somebody in their life and they want to start their new year just with somebody or meeting somebody. So what he's going to help you with is how to attract that wonderful person in your life, you know, what you're looking for, what is blocking you, because it's in us too that keeps us from being with the love of our life. And most of us know that. And everybody wants someone, and so we are getting ready. Also, Drew, I want to tell you, he's such a special man. He is a five-finger relationship coach. He is a student of the ancient healing and spiritual shamanism of Hawaii, known by its modern or Western label as HUNA, Secrets to Life. And he's a practitioner of the Jungian psychology. He's a certified trainer of neuro-linguistics programming, NLP, and a trainer of hypnosis. So anyway, so let's bring Drew in. And hi, Drew.
There we go.
All
hello,
right.
Pam.
Sorry, hi. Well,
I thought Mercury doesn't go retrograde until tomorrow.
Hey, it starts the week before, and you know it.
How are you doing?
The effects of Mercury retrograde. I'm doing great. I've had a wonderful day, and I'm just happy to have you on the show this evening. And I know there's a couple of people online now that would like to ask you something. But, you know, when we talked, we wanted to talk tonight, or you did, about loneliness and all the lonely people that are out there. And what do you want to talk about that? You said that was going to be our topic.
Well, so there's so much we can talk about. It's a new year, and it's a wonderful new year. I have a new girlfriend, which is always fun, getting to know somebody. And it's a perfect time for me to be able to remind myself how it is that one goes about manifesting a new relationship. It's a great time to recognize that there's a sense of loneliness that people have that is not necessarily due to a lack of a relationship with another person. And basically, this is just a great time to, you know, it's the new year. Everybody's setting goals. So let's talk about how people set their goals to create what they want. About in the area of relationship, what the heck? Does that sound like fun?
Well, it does. I want to tell you about kind of a recent experience that I had, and I think this might get us going in the right direction. I mean, it's in the right direction, but no, I had a client that came to me, a man, which I love that when they do come to see me, I get a lot of women instead. But anyway, and I asked him what I could do for him, and he said, I would like a woman in my life. I said, okay. I said, I think we can do something about that. And I said, are you divorced? He said, no, I'm a widow, and I've been a widow for like, I said, how long? And he said, 8 years. I said, wow. I said, well, when was your last date? He said, 8 years ago. I'm going, okay. Thing is, this man is a general in the Army. And he's, you know, and I mean, he wasn't dressed, you know, but I would have known. But he just said that's what he was. And I'm going, wow. And he said, my wife died 8 years ago, and I didn't really ask why. But he said, I have a son, and he said, I need a woman in my life to help me raise my son. Well, okay, I could see that. Your son needs a second mom. That would be great. And so I said, well, I said, first of all, if you'll just, let's talk about what you're wanting in a woman. And he said, I want a hard working woman and someone who wants to help me raise my kids. I'm going, I said, wait a minute, you got to get a little bit more specific than that. And he did not get it. He said, that's what I want. And he said, it's real important. I said, well, yeah, because see, if you're a general in the Army, you're disciplined. You want someone who's hardworking, disciplined. He said, yeah, and everything. And I said, but well, what do you want her to look like? He said, well, what's that have to do with it? I said, well, the thing is, with me, we're working with the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind needs a picture. And right away I knew that we weren't calibrating on the same level there, you know. But I'm not going to say anything else about it. But can you see what this is, what most people that don't have a person in their life, they don't even know where to begin? And he didn't. He said, well, I don't know, you know, how to, you know, attract someone to me. But I said, well, you don't know what you want. Yeah, I do. I want a hard working woman who wants to help raise my kid. You know, well, okay.
That's such a great story. And that's just so common. Even yeah. Among people who think they know what they want, they miss some important points. I have a new client myself who he wants to have a woman in his life again, and he's looking for a spiritual partner. And in his case, he's actually having the past relationship and his sadness over that block him from moving forward in both his career and his relationship. He doesn't have the same problem as the general as far as being able to come up with ideas for what it is that he's looking for. He's got a pretty, I asked him, you know, send me the characteristics of your ideal woman spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. And he sent me a fairly complete list. And as I looked at the list, my thoughts were that it is about her, but it's about what he gets or what he wants for himself from being with her. And I can't escape the fact that here's a general. Here's someone who is all about objectives and accomplishing them with the least wasted effort. My new client is thinking about what he wants. You can even go look at dating books for men, or where they're even about pickup books. And one of the very first hurdles that men have to learn to get over when they're seeking a partner of some kind is that it's not about them. Anytime you're entering into a relationship, whether it's a business relationship or an intimate relationship, people have to remember that to be interesting to someone else, they have to be interested in the other person. And it's just forgotten. I don't know how we lost sight of that. If our, you know, some of our parents didn't raise us that way. I know back in the day, you know, mothers would take both their daughters and their sons to dance class so that they would learn how to interact and be social. And we don't have that anymore. And the basics of being a gentleman and being a lady is to have a conversation, talking about each other's interests and getting to know each other. It's amazing that you would bring up a general. I mean, here's someone, think about this, here's a successful person. He's risen to the highest ranks in a military organization, we'll assume. And he doesn't get that in his partner, he needs to think outside of himself. So that's where I would start. Is this making sense? Let me check
absolutely
up on that.
Yeah, I'm listening to everything you said.
So let me be real specific here. The first place you got to start when you want to have a relationship, no matter who it is, it's what are you doing to serve the other person? Why do they care about you? You have to let go of the idea that it's all about you. It's because it's not. I know a girl who was just looking for a hookup. This is hilarious to me. Dating is so different these days. This girl was looking for a hookup. And this guy was interested in her, and she was concerned that he might be looking for an emotional commitment, and she just wanted, you know, the main event. And once she got clear with him that he wasn't looking for any emotional connection either, they were able to move forward with their one night of relationship. It's about what the other person wants, and whether it's just one night or a lifetime, there has to be some common ground. When my current girlfriend and I first met, neither of us were looking for another person. And what happened is that we noticed each other and we were open to finding out about each other. And we still weren't even looking for a relationship. We were just talking at a seminar and getting to know each other because, you know, you meet interesting people at a seminar. It wasn't until after that that we decided that there might be a possibility for a relationship. So always get started thinking about who you are. Now, I know you're in a relationship, and Annie has told us about how she's been doing things with her relationship, and there's communication changes that create opportunities. What I'm trying to make the point here is that there has to be that underlying connection of caring about the other person, of being interested in the other person, of having this foundation of why does this person want to have a relationship with you? And what do they get out of it? And it's only when you're able to communicate to them effectively what they get out of it that they begin to be interested. So that's the first step. Think about what it is that you would have to offer someone else. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, what I'm thinking about that is, gosh, when I was married, I know my husband never thought about what I wanted. It was always about what he wanted. You know, that was back in the early 60s. And,
are you still married to him?
Oh, no, no.
Right.
But I did not
right.
do that. But it made me, I guess, turn me off a lot about, you know, men. And I thought of men a certain age, you know, it really is like it's all about me and the man, and he's got the power and the money and everything else and all that. But now, you know, I see that. It's just, it was that time. It was how it was, you know. And it was not what he'd do for me, but what was I going to do for him? And that's how the focus always went. Until, probably after we'd been married about 10 years and I was really not happy, he did start helping me with things that I needed, you know, and doing little things for me. But, no. So I understand what you're talking about, 100%. And I'm sure people out there listening are understanding, too, what you're saying.
Well, let's talk about the second important step in being able to actually get a relationship. So the number one thing is you've got to think about what the other person gets out of it, why they want to be in a relationship with you. Like I said, business or romantic, it's the same. The second is, you know, what is it that you want? You know, so once you have an idea of who you are and what you offer another person, then you think about what it is that you want. And here's the reason why this is the second step and not the first, is because what you want needs to be tempered in what you're giving. If you try to get into a relationship thinking just about what you want, like let's say it's a guy who just wants to, you know, pick up some girl. If all he's thinking about is what he wants, she's going to know right away. She cares about what she wants. So she has to feel the way she wants to feel. Or if a woman is looking for a man, then he has to know that he's going to get what he wants out of a relationship. So if you think about what you want in terms of what you're offering the other person, then it flavors it. It creates a coloration. I mean, even think about how when we do astrology, we look at what planet, you know, a planet is in a house and it sits in a sign, and all these things work together to create a flavoring of the energy. So if we think of what I want in a relationship, let's say I want a spiritual relationship, okay? So I'm going to look for someone with whom I can connect spiritually. That means I'm looking for someone who has a spiritual or energetic bent about her. So what I offer is I have interest and knowledge in the area of spirituality and energy. I'm looking for someone I can have a conversation with about that topic. Whereas if I just say, I'm looking for someone who is spiritual, okay, then that doesn't really give the energy a way to manifest. In the case of my client, he's looking for someone who has a very specific spiritual practice, and he's not opening his mind to the idea that, well, spirit and energy is a very open, flexible, fluid thing. And if you're thinking someone has to be a certain way, especially on the spiritual level, you're going to get stuck. So you have to, think about what the other person wants and how do you take what you want and put it into thinking about what the other person wants. How is that making the connection? How is the energy moving? If we flip it all the way to the other side and go to the physical, somebody's obviously going to want to have sex in a relationship, okay? Well, are they looking for the other person to always serve them, or are they looking to have an exchange of energy at the physical level? Are they thinking of, here's what I would like to do and how I want to raise the energy level of that other person to want to do these things with me? How do I build that connection so that there's a flow between us of relationship? Getting clear about these two things gives us a really solid foundation for starting to think about how we're going to go out there now and manifest that relationship. Is that making any sense at all?
Well, of course it is, and I love what you're sharing, but do you know how many men think like you do or even have that thought about that? Or most people, I guess we, you know, when you first meet someone, Drew, oh my gosh, you're all in love and you want to do everything with them and you want to take care of them and you're in that wonderful pink bubble. And then you get really involved and sometimes that bubble bursts and you're going, oh my gosh, you know, it sure is different now that he sees me all the time, anytime he wants to, you know, you're not getting that special attention service or whatever, you know.
Well, again, men need education just like everyone else does. I'm going to be real specific here. I've got a book right in front of me, and it's, let me see what the title is. I just picked one at random here. It's called 202 Sex Tips Every Man Needs to Know, and it's written by a woman. Okay, so here's a woman telling men how to pleasure a female. So think in terms of, we're out here in the world, this talk show, books, people who are ready to serve. We're out there educating. People who are stuck are people who just need education. So I would like to think that this is an opportunity for us to begin to educate that there's a different way of thinking that gets better results. Most people think that stuff just happens. And what truly is going on is that they set an intention or a goal, and then they get something like that according to whatever is going on inside of them. So if someone is just thinking, I would like to be in a relationship with another person, they might get a relationship of some kind. They might meet a person on the street. They might say hello. There might be some conversation, but that doesn't mean they're in like an ongoing relationship. You need to be more specific about what the container is. When you're creating that container, again, let's go back to what I said. You want to say, what is it that I'm offering another person? What is it that I want from that person? You know, what is it? And then here's the third tip for creating a relationship. This is the really important part. It's, what is the relationship between the two people? What's going on? Is it something where they're going to create a relationship, or is it something where they are just going to be two people living in a house, raising some kids, and then when the kids are gone, they look at each other and they go, who the heck are you? So I'm moving in that direction where you're thinking of, how do I serve the other person? How do I want them to serve me? How are we serving together to create something that is separate from either of us? That's why I'm giving these three aspects of creating, manifesting the relationship you want, because everybody's thinking about the other person, but you're not actually manifesting a person. That person is already out there. You want to manifest a relationship. And so if you're thinking in terms of, I want to have a relationship where X occurs, you have to be thinking about what that person wants, what you want, and how you are bringing your energies together to create that new thing. So let's say you're a woman and you want to raise children. Okay, you're looking for a man. Think about this. Some people get to the point where they're literally just looking for a sperm donor, and they're going to raise a child on their own, and that's fine. But let's say that you want to have a family, and you have a woman and a man married with children, raising the children to go out and be productive out there in the world. That is, early on, a purpose for the relationship. Now, when the children are gone, there still has to be a purpose for the relationship. So let's think about this in one step further. Say, you know, my client, I don't know, let's talk about the general. So the general wants a relationship with someone who is going to work with him to help him raise his son. Now, there's no shortage of women out there that are probably more than interested in that particular offer, and they're going to want more. So he's jumped all the way to the end. He's, instead of thinking about what's in it for her and what do I want, he's thinking about here's the relationship and what's in it for him. People who think outside of themselves get more of what they want. Zig Ziglar always said, you can always get whatever you want just by helping other people get what they want. So the question, go ahead. Yeah, the question is really just what is it you want to create together when you have this relationship?
Right. Well.
So that's the three steps. What do you have to offer the other person that they would want? What do you want in terms of how you're serving the other person, which gives them the opportunity to serve you? And then what are you creating together as a team? Because that's the relationship.
Well, okay, what about writing out a script of what you want? What would you say if you were going to write it down? Maybe you can make a little script for yourself, and maybe I'll put on a recorder and I'll listen to it so my subconscious mind starts to hear what I'm looking for, what I'm wanting in life.
Right. So, again, if you're talking about, so get the three steps. What do I offer the other person? What do I want? What are we going to create together? So you're very clear on this. So let's suppose you are in an environment. So you've written this all down. You've given very clear direction to your unconscious mind. Your body, your soul, everything about you is now putting out this energy of here's what I'm looking for, and it's very clear. And so people who are interested in something similar are going to be attracted to that. The universe, which has no purpose other than to give us what we're asking for, what we're looking for, what we seek, even just a learning experience sometimes, is going to bring us those people that match those things that we want to create in our lives. And so the manifestation part is twofold. One, notice when you have somebody in front of you. And two, make sure you're taking the actions to go out there and get it. So let's say that, you know, man or woman, you write down what you have to offer somebody else. You write down what you want. You write down how the relationship, the ideal relationship would go and what you're creating together. You've got all this stuff cleared out and set up, and you never leave the house. Are you ever going to get that relationship? You've got to meet the person. You have to take action now. You have to go out there in the world and talk to people, notice the opportunities to talk about the things you want, and go to places where you have opportunities to meet people. It could be church, it could be the coffee shop, it could be the grocery store, it could be whatever. Like, let's say, I mean, this is actually a very common tactic for guys. It's very popular to actually go to a grocery store and look for a woman who looks like she might be an attractive candidate for what you're looking for in a relationship, and you go talk to her. In the case of a woman who's looking to manifest a relationship and wants a man to take the first step, she needs to be open to when the man shows up. And if she's clear on what she wants, when the man walks up and starts talking to her, she's like right away able to tell whether he's interesting or not. And she can still be polite and she can tell him no, or she can say, hey, yeah, you're exactly what I'm looking for, or we should take this another step and move into something. So when my current girlfriend and I got together, we were at a seminar, and I was just interested in meeting people and getting new perspectives. She comes in, she sits down to me, we start talking together. I go to dinner with her a night later with her and her friends, and we start talking. We really hit it off, and we talk about different things, find that we have a lot in common, some common interests. Again, we're not even thinking relationship at this point, right? But we did enough talking, and then we became open to a possibility a few days after that, hey, maybe we should talk more, maybe we should pursue something, maybe we should find out about this. And it turned into a long-distance relationship. It's the taking action and being open that makes all the difference in being able to manifest a relationship, as with anything else. If we don't take the actions and be open to when the universe presents us with an opportunity, then we don't get anywhere. So someone who isn't in a relationship now and wants to be in a relationship, my advice is very simple. Steps are, what do you have to offer? What do you want? How do you want to create a relationship? And then you go out and you start doing things that present you with opportunities to take action, follow through. Does that sound simple enough?
Yes.
Do we have any callers?
Yes, you do. Hold on. I've tried to get myself offline here. Hold on a minute. Okay. We do have some callers. And I think everybody that's listening wants to talk to you. You've got several people on the line. Okay, good deal. Illa Carr, she's our first caller. She's from Colorado. Hi, Illa Carr.
Hello. Happy New Year to the both of you. How are you?
Wonderful. Happy New Year, Avatar.
Yeah, I'm enjoying the conversation.
What question do you have?
Well, I have a comment. I don't necessarily have a question, but in regards to myself, I wanted to be in a relationship, but I wasn't open to a relationship. And I really didn't know how much I had really closed my heart space. And so once I started clearing my heart space, and this person that I'm interested in, you know, I had seen him and I saw that he was interested in me, but I wasn't open. So, you know, and I think in a relationship it has to be more than, you know, the superficial things. You know, and I know looks are important. I know money's important. I know all those things are important. But I think also, ultimately, you know, we have to have some type of substance when it comes to, you know, having a connection, just like, you know, both of you were talking about relationships where there really weren't, the connection wasn't really there. And that's one of the most important things for me to, you know, for me, number one, to know who I am, and for the person that I'm interested to know who he is, so that, you know, we're not coming into a relationship with baggage. We're not coming into a relationship with, you know, all these unrealistic expectations, and, you know, where we can really meet each other where we are and accept each other where we are. So, so once I kind of cleared out, you know, really, I really didn't even consciously know that, you know, I really closed up like that. So once I opened my heart, the energy just went straight to him. This wasn't had anything to do with my head, anything to do with anything that I wrote down, even though I do have a list of things that I, you know, would prefer to make. But this was on a whole different level. It was just on a whole different level that this happened. And I did take some action, and I did go, you know, to a conference. And I said, well, you know, I really want to know if this is a mutual kind of thing. And it was. But, you know, like I said, it's still a long-distance kind of thing. And we really haven't – we know each other, but we really haven't officially, like, met each other.
Right. Well, that that is very important that you brought that up. And so there is an important step that I left out of this process because I figured someone would bring it up. And it's the emotional part and the heart connection. And, you know, our society today is very, very superficial. And, you know, we're burdened in the media by so many images that are all about having more money or having a better body or having whatever thing. And the thing is that a relationship isn't a thing. It's a living, breathing, growing engagement between two people. And so what you notice, and this is perfect because I wanted to be able to talk about this, is that everybody's on an emotional path. We have experiences and we have emotional responses to them, and so we accumulate baggage. And depending on our age, we have varying degrees of baggage about relationships. Some, you know, two teenagers who are on their first date probably aren't going to have as much baggage about a relationship as two people are in their 50s. It'll depend on what they're bringing in from past lives, from what their parents are like,
mm-hmm.
But it's usually a lot less conscious, and they might be a lot more open in their hearts, shall we say. And then they get hurt and stuff happens. So the thing to do is that this is how people move forward, is they recognize that there's an emotion that comes up when something occurs, and then they let go of the baggage and they get the learning. So someone doesn't know, they might be looking for a particular trait in a mate and they don't even know it until they have a mate who exhibits the opposite. And this is all a process. And another aspect of that, when we talk about opening our hearts and making a heart connection, that I think is super important, is that everybody has baggage. So I remember many times I've looked on, you know, the dating websites, and there's women that post on there that they're looking for someone without baggage. And I'm going to tell you straight up, I just keep going past those, because when I look at the energy on some of these postings, it's so negative. It just, there would be no way I would date that person, because, you know, the women who are in, let's say, their 30s, I'm like, I'm not looking for a daddy for my kids. Okay, well, you're not looking for anything like me either, so period. Move on. People who present their, just put their baggage in front of you are kind of scary. And so here's the thing about baggage. You've got baggage, and a very important part of two people in a relationship are to accept that they each have baggage.
Mm-hmm.
Not that, because, you know, to ask for someone who has no baggage is just ridiculous. The people who have no baggage are called enlightened, and they're not looking for a date.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get into relationships because their relationship within themselves is so complete. There's nothing for them in creating a relationship with another person. So if we accept that we all have emotions, we all have emotional baggage, here's the key. So I mentioned, you know, my client, I asked him what's important to him at the spiritual, mental, and emotional and physical levels. So one of the things, I love, I'm just going to put it right here, his emotional level. They as a couple, they talk about their feelings. They work through problems together. They care and give to each other. So think about this. If you're asking for someone with no baggage, then that means you're saying, I have no baggage, which is just completely untrue. And you're not being honest with yourself, and you're going to be a very difficult person to get along with. But if you put out there that I am, you know, I can serve another person by accepting them as they are and not getting emotional about their baggage, but instead supporting them and serving them, I'm asking for someone who will do the same for me. And we have a relationship that grows and is nurtured by our mutual self-respect and respect for the other, so that we accept each other as they are and we grow together, letting go of our baggage as we spend time together. And then the way you do that, and this is, I have a love-hate relationship with long distance relationships. And so I have my new relationship is long distance. The the thing about a long-distance relationship is that you don't get to see each other very much, but you can talk a lot. So my girlfriend and I talk on the phone at least an hour a day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the talking about whatever that builds the relationship. You might talk about spiritual stuff. You might talk about mental stuff. Here's the news. Here's my political views. Not that people should necessarily talk about political views too much in a relationship if they're not alike. They talk about their feelings. Here's how I feel about this. Here's how I feel about that. And they talk about physical. Here's the things I like. Here's the things I don't like. So that when you do get together, you've actually created this foundation where energy can flow from the spiritual through the mental, through the emotional, into the physical, and the entire relationship is now lit up and can flow smoothly. And if stuff comes up, then you've already created the foundation of talking so that you talk about things instead of just getting upset with each other and stomping away.
Mm-hmm.
So that opening your heart to that is a huge thing.
Yeah, I think, I think that in a lot of relationships I see, from my observation, is people that, they love each other, but they have never really connected. You know, they're people that are together, but spiritually they never connected spiritually. I guess, and this whole idea, this superficial idea of love and what that really means, you know. And when I talk about baggage, like you said, we all have baggage, but you don't impose your baggage on someone else. Okay, so you have this baggage. You were in this relationship with somebody that did this or did that. So you're gonna have these maybe subconscious thoughts that this person will do the same thing. You know, that's what I meant when I said, you know, the baggage is there, but you've worked on yourself. You've given yourself enough time and space, and, you know, you've done enough work on yourself not to impose your baggage on somebody else.
Yeah, that's a great thing to do, although I wouldn't use that as an excuse to not go get in a relationship. There's the risk.
Well, I think sometimes people do need time alone. They do need time to get their act together. They do need time to heal on whatever it is. Because what they do, they get in, I see people hop in and out of relationships. They're not even divorced, and they're in another relationship, you know. And it, to me, it's like it's too soon to be talking about giving yourself to someone when you got all these feelings that you haven't even dealt with from a previous relationship. To me, it's just not good. I don't think it's a good mix. I don't think it's a good fit.
I totally agree, and people have to decide what's right for them.
Right, right. So I just wanted to share that.
That was great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, well, thank you for calling, Avatar. We do have another caller, and I can't pronounce their name. They're from Nebraska, so let me bring them in.
Pam,
and we'll get their name.
I'm going to. Her name is Kaula. Uolami. Kaulami.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you? Good. What's up, man? Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh.
My girlfriend just came over. It's getting loud over here. Yeah, this is Kaulami. I think we spoke before. Your voice sounds familiar.
Kaulami.
Yes.
Is that Hawaiian?
Yes.
Okay. Awesome.
It's the wreath of heavenly flowers in English. But, yeah, can you turn that tea off? And then, I was really digging what you said, and I wanted to ask you, what can I do as far as attracting, bringing up my vibration on the level of, what I want to attract? Besides self-love, I learned that lesson, and healing from, childhood things. I've learned that I thought I healed, but I really didn't. And then I had some epiphany and done some soul searching. But I find myself just wondering what other lessons that I'm going to learn before the final game, you know what I mean?
Wow, we can have so much fun with that, because I love your name.
Thank you.
So I'm going to start with ku. So in Hawaii, the practice of ho'oku, ho'o means to make, and another interpretation of ku'u is release, to let stuff go. So think of a wreath of heavenly flowers, something you put on. And this could be something that you would wear as protection. This is an ornament in the hula. This is something where I'm just going to jump in with ku'u. You're doing release. You're finishing. You're becoming complete. And so imagine yourself becoming complete as a heavenly flower, becoming complete as someone whose spirit has blossomed fully into that which attracts others. And so when we want to raise our vibration, we let go of the things that bring us down. The easiest and simplest way to begin raising our vibration is to notice when we talk about things we don't want, and change to talk about the things that we do want. So if I want to fully blossom as a human being, attractive, beautiful, desirable, bringing to me those people who are right for me, then I'm keeping my mind on them, those things that I want to put out there. So if I have, the last caller, let's say, talked about, you had an experience with a prior relationship and it didn't go well. We've all done this, and we've all experienced this. You get together with somebody and that person either puts on you that their expectation that you're going to be like some previous partner, or you start looking at them like they're your previous partner. You're like, okay, I was with a woman who cheated on me. I had to let go of the idea that women cheat on men in a relationship when they're engaged. And I had to recognize that, get that out there up front, that integrity, mm-hmm. being loyal, being monogamous is important to me. And if it's not right for someone else, that's fine. I don't want to be in a relationship with that person. So I let go, I released whatever charge or disbelief I had about the possibility of having a relationship where people are true to each other. And that raises your vibration. Think about any experience you've had in your life where things didn't go the way you wanted, and you didn't get what you wanted, and instead of letting it go and being able to think about what you do want, you hold on to this idea that maybe you're at fault, or you're to blame, or you did something wrong, or that everybody is going to be this way, or you deserve to be treated this way. Whatever comes up for somebody, they need to let that go. And again, your name is perfect, because your name represents what you've just asked, that you're going to put on the wreath of beautiful flowers and let them demonstrate that you are releasing and moving towards spirit, raising your vibration. Anything that goes on in your head that isn't what you want, you let it go and you focus on what you want. Nothing is faster. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that was so nicely said. It was like a dance. I really appreciate it. Thank you. Like, I fully get it and I understand. And it's kind of the irony in the name. It's like the harder it is to let go for me, even if that's like a representation of part of my name, it really is really hard. hard to do for me as far as, like, my own paradigm, and, like, that was really on point. So it was very beautifully, eloquently put to me, and I want to thank you for that, and hopefully your 2016 brings you more blessings and maybe little blessings, you know? You never know.
Always many good blessings.
Right?
I'm just curious, who gave you this name?
Oh, it's a family's name, and it's passed down from generations, so I got it from my great-auntie.
Nice. And you live in Nebraska?
Yeah, I live in Omaha, but I was born and raised in Hawaii, but I lived in Missouri for a couple of years, and now I'm a Nebraskan. I'm a Cornhusker right now.
Well, I was born in Omaha, but I used to live in the Big Island.
Oh, that's awesome. Like, my Hawaiian family is originally from Maui in the Big Island, but they went to Oahu, like, back in, like, the 1800s, like, or, like, late 1800s, and started the, like the line of kahunas, and that's why my name is, I guess I learned through another Hawaiian, doing all these classes and stuff for my son to get us to go to a private school. It's part of, like, the way federal money works if you're indigenous Hawaiian. But anyway, neither here nor there. Like, I learned about my name, and every kule, actually, they found the sacred knowledge, because there's two generations of Hawaiian. There was, like, the one that believed in the monial theistic systematic form of religion with one God and an Adam and Eve story, and it's, like, almost identical to Christianity in so many different ways, except that the water was sacred and everything in life was sacred, and the source of life was water, and it goes back to the vibe. And it's really, like, really intense. And then those Hawaiians are smaller and shorter, and there's another second generation of Tahitian Hawaiians that brought the Kapu system that, like, denounced all that and had a many-god, like, ideology, and imposed that on the Hawaiians, and either sacrificed the people that wouldn't convert or made them convert and do human sacrifice and go against what they believed in ultimately. But they did that, but then the kahunas that really still kept the knowledge had the ku'ule of every family, and they gave them the sacred knowledge that was the, you know, the sweetheart of the family, that every ku'ule was in certain kahunas, that they, even though they practice the kapu, they taught the secret, like, religion. Does that make any sense?
Yep, but that's what I studied.
Yeah, so that's what I learned from this half Hawaiian, half Japanese guy that went around the world and studied of different religions, and he's actually a Christian, like, preacher, and he wrote these couple books, and he was talking at a workshop that I did for credit for my kids' scholarship. So I was like, wow, right on. I learned about my name, and then again I learned about my name. And then it's really weird because Ku represents the god of fertility and war, and there's nothing but chaos and kids in my life. I'm
awesome.
Like, damn, it's all in the name. But anyhow, you guys take care, and thank you very much for getting me online. I appreciate the conversation and the time. Mahalo nui loa, and aloha from Nebraska.
Aloha. Mahalo.
Conversation you had with a fellow person, friend from Hawaii. We've got one more caller, Drew, before we've got 6 minutes, 5 minutes now.
Okay.
So I want you to, we're going to bring Debbie in so you can answer her question. Hi, Debbie.
Hi. I don't know if you could answer it in 6 minutes. I've been married for 32 years, and my husband walked out December the 11th, said he didn't know if he wanted to be married anymore. And I just don't understand.
Perfect. I would find that very difficult to understand as well.
He said I was a stronger person than he was. He was in a motorcycle accident and had to have his foot amputated, and I helped him. And I had a back injury 2 years ago and had to have surgery. So, of course, I put on some weight and things like that. And he was disabled, and I haven't been able to go back to work. We've had a lot of drama going on in the family. And he tells me that I just floored me. Just floored me. So I'm just, I mean, I didn't stop him from leaving. I mean, because, you know, that's not going to bring him back. I don't know where to go from here.
Okay. So the first question is, and please, my heart goes out to you. This sounds like a very challenging situation. I know what it's like to be in those challenging situations. And I once had a girlfriend who I'd been with for a while, and we were talking about getting married. I come home from work one night, and she's gone. She's moved out, all her stuff's in the front, you know, that didn't fit in her cars in the front of the house, and left a note saying, I hope we can work this out, which I didn't understand that at all, because what is there to work out when you've just left, right? So the biggest mistake I made is that I didn't make a decision about what I wanted, whether I wanted the relationship to continue or not. So you've really got to sit down with yourself and ask, can this relationship be saved? Do you want to? Is that what you would want? When you've been through a lot of things with someone, there's a lot of history there. My ex-wife and I spent a lot of time together, and a lot of the times I miss having someone in my life where I've had that long period of connection, experience, sharing. So, but on the other hand, there were aspects of the relationship that simply weren't working, and there was nothing I seemed to be able to do to bring it back together. And she didn't seem to want to work with me on that. So I decided to let it go. So you've got to decide, do you want this relationship to come back, to continue? What do you want? And it's been less than a month, but I'm just going to ask, what would you want?
First of all, I would want him to do it for love and not because I make more money than he does. I mean, I would have suspicion in my mind, I guess, because there's been some lies. I do want to work it out, but I go back and forth.
Well, let me ask this. There's a book called The 7 Secrets for Making Marriage Work.
Yes.
Right? And the number one thing that the author of this book calls out as being important is that there's respect. Is there mutual respect in a relationship? So this is a guy, John Gottman, at the University of Washington. He's got a thing called the Love Lab, and they watch couples. And this guy says he can tell within like 5 minutes of observing a couple whether or not their relationship is going to work or not. And it just basically comes down to, is there mutual respect? And if there's mutual respect, he says any relationship can come back. And if there isn't mutual respect, then the relationship is gone. So you have these questions about why he would be in it. So, and you said there's been some lies, so there's going to be some trust issues. So
even
underneath that, do you respect him, and do you feel that he respects you? Ignoring the very disrespectful aspect of just walking out.
Well, he is a respectful man. I don't think his head is screwed on. I don't know if he's what you call a midlife crisis. I don't know. I know he's depressed. But he is a respectful man. I think up until this point, I thought we were okay. I had no clue. Maybe I did, and I just wasn't paying attention because being self-absorbed about my back, I wasn't stroking his ego, you know, like he's used to, because I've been having my own issues. So I would say that he respected me. I probably respected him more than he respected me.
Okay, so given that,
yeah.
I would say that, you know, you have to decide if you would want to make this work. And I would actually say, go get this book. It's called The 7 Principles for Making Marriage Work, John Gottman, PhD. And he, in that book, he's got actually a blueprint or how to bring a relationship back together. And if that's what you want, you know, I would say you read the book, you decide, and then you approach him and say, we need to have a conversation here. Do you want to consider the possibility of having a good relationship with me or not? And then if he does, then you work on it. And if he doesn't, you say, okay, bye. I mean, it sounds like you're going to be okay, and you don't really need him.
You know, it's easy. It's not that easy when you love somebody, when you really love somebody.
But I was married for 23 years. I know what you're saying.
It's not, no, 32 years.
Okay, that's even longer.
Yeah,
that's tough.
And it's not... And it's not that I need somebody in my life, even though I've had him here for a long time, because I've gone long periods of time when he would be overseas and stuff like that with being in the military, that, you know, that I don't think that's the issue. It's just I think maybe he doesn't know if he loves me anymore, so I don't know. So,
well,
I don't know.
So that is why I would say get that book, read
okay.
through it. And use that as your base, because this guy's considered to be the expert. Use
seven
that as your base.
Of
the seven principles for making marriage work.
Drew, I would like to make a comment, since we're talking about relationships, and that's a big subject. I wanted to share with the caller that I had a client years ago, and became skinny, and she'd gotten a divorce, and blah, 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 and all that stuff. And I said, well, how long were you married? And she said, well, for 12 years. And she said, my husband just up and left me one day. She said, I didn't have a clue, didn't know he was leaving me. I thought we were doing great. You know, everything was okay. And I thought, wow, how can you not know that somebody, you know, your husband's going to leave you, or, you know, or just totally caught off guard. Well, I just can't believe this happened, you know. I thought everything was okay. And then we kept talking, but I'll tell you what I got out of that conversation was, when we love someone, and when we really love someone, we overlook so many things. And we just think, well, we're on it, we're together, everything's cool. Daddy, you know, when you do love, you know, your husband and everything, and your love stayed there. But I think that's why we get caught up in going, wow, I can't believe this happened. How did this show up? But it's because we just love them, and we love is blind. How about that?
Yes. That's why they probably named that phrase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so don't question yourself anymore. You're blind.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all I'm saying. Finish it.
No,
that's
great. I think Debbie sounds like she wants to bring it back.
If there's something still there, yes. But if there's not, then I'm willing to let it go because it wasn't meant to be. I don't know what it was meant to be. Or
if you still have the basics of respect, then you know, I've been through this guy's book. It's a very clear book. I wish I had looked at it before I got divorced. I've just popped to a page. It's a biological fact. Men are more easily overwhelmed by marital conflict than their wives. There you go. So there's something going on. He's made it big in his mind, and he freaks out and he bolts. There you go. He's gone. Doesn't mean he doesn't want to be married. He just is confused or lost or something's going on, doesn't know what to do, doesn't know how to approach it. You say he was in the military. People in the military tend to be very structured, very focused, very organized, and if he's in a situation where he doesn't have any idea what's going on, his military experience could be coloring his perceptions of how to deal with whatever he's feeling. So,
well, I know he took his wedding band off.
If again, someone who's had military experience is going to be very clear about something when they make a decision. But you need to ask why he took the marriage, married the wedding band off? What was going on in his mind?
He said he didn't know if he wanted to be married anymore. That was his reasoning.
Okay. So this is a way to find out. Talk to him about it. If he respects you and you respect him, then there are things you can talk about to discover whether or not you want to be together anymore. And you can always go to a marriage therapist.
Oh, he doesn't want to go. He don't want to go.
Then this is the thing where you can just say, hey, let's talk, and you can use this book as a blueprint for how you want to talk with him.
Probably
and like you said,
a little time and space. I mean, is it true the absence make the heart grow fonder?
Sometimes. Or it just finishes it off.
Okay. Oh, joy. Okay.
No, I would take action.
Okay.
You know, get the book.
All right, get the book and read it.
See what you can learn from it, and then
okay.
Take action and talk to him. You know, and you know, why should you wait around for him to make up his mind?
That's a good question.
He's the man. He should make up his mind. I mean, let's imagine I'm talking to a girl in a bar, and I said to her, you know, well, I don't know if I'd want to go out with you or not. What's she going to do?
Leave?
Look at me like, right. Like, well, why the hell are you talking to me?
Right. Wow. Okay, I'll get the book and I'll read it and go from there.
I think that's the way to go, you know.
Well, right now he doesn't want to talk to me. He just wants me to give him time and space. That's what he's asking for.
That's fine. And push him to be a man. How much time and how much space does he need, and when is he ready to talk? Get a date. Get a commitment out of him.
Okay.
You know,
I will.
And read that book.
Yeah.
I will.
Do not tolerate passive aggressive behavior.
Okay.
Just yesterday, I was helping a friend, and she's got a fiance, and they're in a long distance relationship, and her fiance was just whatever was going on. His stuff was coming up, and he was texting her like crazy and saying, oh, you don't love me. And she's looking at me and she's saying, is this what men put up with women? And I said, yeah, that's normal. And she says, how do I deal with it? And I said, you don't respond. Let it run its course. Okay. In this instance, he's being the feminine energy. You need to be the masculine and take charge and get what you want. But that doesn't mean that you let the feminine energy dictate the terms. You have to set boundaries for how this is going to run.
Well, yeah, he wants me to pay for him to leave. You left. No, I'm not paying for you to leave.
He's gone.
No.
Nope. No is my favorite word.
Yeah, that I told him that today. Mm-hmm. No.
Good
well,
choice.
Thank you so much for suggesting that book, and I will definitely read it, and we'll see where life takes me.
Good job.
And Debbie, Drew,
yes?
Give her your contact information again and everyone else that's listening too.
It's on the website, and my phone number is 206-914-0127. And my email address is drew@drewnicholson.com. And you can find that information on Pam's Cosmic Contacts radio show website as well. Feel free to give me a call or send me an email.
Okay. Right.
Yes. Stay in touch, because Drew could really help you get through this time right now, Debbie. And you need some therapy. You need some help with this. 32 years is a long time. to give to someone, and then they just walk out the door in the dust.
Oh, well, there's other issues behind that. I just said it really simple, but there was other issues going on.
Well, we know you'll do the right thing.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah.
Thank
Good
you
night.
Very much for calling.
Thank you for having
True. That was a great conversation. That lady, I'm glad she called in. That was good. And
I'm glad too.
A lot of great stuff. Yes. And, you know, our work here is to help people and set them on the right course if we can.
And I even want to, like, wrap the loop here, which is that, okay, so Debbie and her husband, if they get back together, they both have to view each other as what do I give you, what do I want, and what are we creating together in a relationship? Losing sight of those three things leads to a relationship that ultimately disintegrates because there isn't any energy being put into the relationship, the connection. So even when there's tough times and people have their own stuff going on, they still need to acknowledge each other and acknowledge the existence of the relationship and put energy into it.
Even more so than, you know?
Yeah, it's like a bank account. When people are feeding their relationship, when the tough time comes, the relationship has energy for each partner to support each other. And if they don't do that, then tough time comes, and if it lasts too long, the bank account goes negative and the relationship falls apart.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Awesome.
And we're all listening. This is our starting the new year out with our relationships, the ones we're in and the ones we want to get into. Thank you so much for this evening, Drew, and I want to thank everybody for calling in, and we'll be back next Monday at 4:30 at Pacific Standard Time, and Drew, plan on having you back again real soon. Is there anything else you want to say in closing?
I think that's it.
Okay, good deal.
Sounds great.
And what about you, Annie?
Just a great show. Thanks for sharing all that great information, Drew. And good luck with your new relationship, too. That's a great way
to
start off 2016.
It is.
Okay. Until next week.
Thank you.